This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game. Ever wondered what will that one thing you do today if it's your last day alive? Similarly to the saying, you only live once. Sebastian Terry believes in setting out to accomplish what most people say they will. In fact, he has decided to complete his bucket list of 100 things. How does he go about achieving them and what does it take to accomplish the impossible? Well, let's hear from the man himself. Well, nice to be speaking to you, Sebastian.
Hi, Frida. How are you?
Good. It's been tough trying to get hold of you, but I'm glad we finally got to speak. I want to go through some things in the 100 things, but before that, your book, 100 Things, What's on Your List, how did you even get started on that?
Well, it's interesting. It was never really a plan for this to become a well-known sort of movement, but I finished high school. I didn't know really what I wanted to do. And my career advisor said I should go to university. So I did, went to university and I got a degree. Mm-hmm. And I came out the other end 3.5 years later with $19,000 of debt and a degree that I knew nothing about. I just sort of had it really. Mm-hmm. And I felt really underwhelmed. And I started a company because that's what I thought people did. And I was really unhappy with that. And I didn't really know what to do with my life. And then a friend of mine passed away. Mm-hmm. His name was Chris, and it was obviously a very sad moment for me and a larger community. And I guess that was the moment where I kind of stopped everything and just asked myself whether I was really happy in life. And if today was my last day on earth, could I look back and say that I was really proud with everything I was doing? And it took me a moment of reflection to just realize pretty much instantly that I was unhappy. I didn't know who I was. I had no idea what I was passionate about. I didn't know my values. And I just hadn't smiled in such a long time. And I thought, well, I need to change this. I want to prioritize my happiness. So I literally just started writing down a list of things that I thought would make me happy. Just one thing turned into 10 to 50 to 100 things. And there's just like a lot of bizarre things on this bit of paper. But I thought, well, if I'm serious about this, I'm just going to drop everything in my life and pursue it. And so that was the beginning of what is now 100 Things.
Right. And of course, just going to read some of your accolades. You're the star of two internationally released feature documentaries on Discovery Channel, ESPN, based on this story. Mm-hmm. And 100 Things, the reality show, also aired through the US last year. And there are a couple of things that you're also involved in. You know, but even doing this 100 Things, right, didn't you think about money?
No, I don't. It's interesting. I mean, I don't give financial, you know, literacy kind of classes. But, it's funny. I was always told that you needed money to be able to do things in life. And I'm finding out that you don't. And often the most profoundly impacting things on your own life are things that don't require money. Mm. You know, it's interesting. You know, you look at my list and there's a lot of weird things on there, a lot of bizarre, abstract things, you know, marrying a stranger in Vegas or delivering a baby or jumping out of a plane. But it doesn't really, those things matter, of course, in a certain way, but everyone's list is different. And, you know, it's the times that I've emotionally connected with people. They're the most impactful things to me. So it's kind of interesting. There's a mentality that unless you have money, you can't consider doing a list. Right. And that's not true. It's absolutely not true. You know, a list encompasses all of our lives, you know, everything in our life. It's career, it's personal, it's social, it's community. And, you know, I think it's really important that we take a moment, give ourselves permission to stop and consider, you know, our lists and what is important to us.
All right. How long has it been since you started, you know, with the book and everything? How many years has it been?
It's been 9.5 years so far.
So close to 10 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like I said to you, it was never anything that I thought anyone would ever hear about. It was just this personal kind of mission to try and get happy. And as I, you know, continued ticking things off of my list, it changed the way I thought about life and it got me out of my comfort zone a lot, which I think is really important, you know, for me certainly to grow. And then at a certain point, it all changed over and a guy in Australia had seen my show on TV. Mm. His name was Mark and he basically shared his story with me, which was that he was a fully able-bodied person. He went to Greece backpacking, just traveling around, and he got bitten by a tick and Mark contracted Lyme's disease. And within a very short amount of time, Mark went from being able-bodied into a quadriplegic, where he couldn't move a muscle in his body. He couldn't speak. He needs a 24-hour care team, a ventilator to stay awake at night. Alive at night. And it was just tragic. And he had seen me on TV and he said, look, I've always wanted to complete a half marathon. Would you push me? Right. And I'd never helped anyone else out. And it was just a really interesting change in my journey where I said yes. I then trained for a few months, and I ended up pushing Mark with a team of people around a half marathon course in Melbourne, Australia. Hmm. And it was the best thing I've ever done in my life, just helping somebody else out. And it was so incredible for Mark and incredible for me that I decided I would only help people from that moment on. So I stopped my list. And I just am now traveling around the world, helping as many people as I can in a hands-on way as possible.
Right.
So it's, that's kind of 100 things now.
Right. And it's funny, right? The 100 things started with about us, and then it became about other people along the way.
Entirely.
Right.
Entirely.
So have you completed the 100 things?
No, I've completed 72.
All right.
I've raised probably near to $400,000 to various charities. Mm. I've, you know, all the books and the shows and you know, I speak around the world and all that doesn't really matter anymore. I just love helping people. And actually, this week, I am launching a new site called Kindsum, which is spelled K-I-N-D-S-U-M. Right. And it's all about helping people. And what I found is that, you know, I can help as many people as I can help, but really I'm only one person. And there are far more people who need help that I just simply can't. So what I'm also finding is that people are innately very kind and very generous. I think as people, we all really are looking for opportunities to help. So Kindsum is a site where I share as many stories as I can right. about people who need help, who I can't help myself. Mm-hmm. And it's a place for people to go to then find somebody to help. And it's sort of like peer-to-peer connection,
right.
if that makes sense.
And hopefully you're hoping that people will pay it forward from there.
Yeah, you can go on. So basically, if there's anyone listening who wants to help somebody or you think, oh, that's interesting, I need help, you could go there and either create and share your own story, or you could go there and search for people, you know, in Australia, in Malaysia, in France, wherever you happen to be. Mm. And you can just see who in the area needs help. And if you read their story and you think you can help, you can just contact them directly. So it's sort of like online dating, but acts of kindness.
So, you know, back to your story about the half marathon as well, right? You know, it didn't cost you much money, but it was time. It was all that. And, you know, and was that difficult? Is that the usual excuse people will say, I won't do 100 things. I won't do any, you know, I won't touch my bucket list.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're all full of, we think they're reasons, but I think ultimately they're excuses as to why we can't do things. And, you know, the most common ones are, I don't have money, I don't have time, I don't have the energy, I have too many other commitments, I have a family. And that's all, I don't believe any of that stuff. I used to tell myself that stuff, but I think it's all about prioritizing. And I think that it's really important to know when you're, if anyone's, you know, curious about starting their own list, I think the first step is giving yourself permission to think about yourself selfishly. I think it's important to be mm-hmm. selfish. Mm-hmm. And then I think you take action, you pull the trigger, you create opportunities, you respond to opportunities, you hopefully get to this point where you achieve a goal. And after a while, you change the way you are as a person. And when you feel fulfilled yourself, I think that's when you can help other people. And the analogy that I love to use is, you know, when you get into a plane yep. and they say, in case of an emergency, oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling.
Yep.
Please put yours on first before helping others. Hmm. I think that's it. You put your mask on first. I think it's really healthy to do that. And then you can help others. And that's certainly been my story.
Right. I want to talk a little bit about you as the current National Ambassador for Make-A-Wish Australia and also your workshop. We'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Sebastian Terry. You're listening to Raise a Game, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous mind. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Raise a Game. Good morning, Frida Liu. If you've just joined us, I'm here with Sebastian Terry, the man behind 100 Things, What's on Your List. It started with a book and, of course, him trying to do 100 things. He's up to 72. There are a couple of things that you're doing at the moment, but I want to go, I'm dying to know, what was the most difficult thing you've done from the 72?
Well, there's so many difficult things, you know. Some are very physical. Like I did an Ironman, which is like an endurance yep. triathlon.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite hard. But, I mean, at the same time, it was quite hard living on a deserted island by myself for a week.
Mm.
I delivered a stranger's baby, so I had to find a stranger who would be open to me delivering their child. That was quite tricky. Actually, one of the hardest things I did was I tried to stay silent for a week. So I had to say nothing for 1 week. And I was living in New York at the time, and I went out every single day and did something different. I went and worked in an office for a day. I did a salsa class one day. I went to a stand-up comedy club. I even went on a blind date, actually,
uh-huh.
and I couldn't talk. So that was also really, really hard. they're all difficult.
You went on a blind date without talking?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. And as you can imagine, it didn't go well.
So, okay, what about, okay, this I had to do. Why marry a stranger? Of course, it's got to be done in Las Vegas, but why? How did that come about?
Well, I just thought, why not, really? I thought it was legal. I think my whole list is based on getting out of my comfort zone and I think testing societal norms, testing myself. And I'd seen this, you know, thing on TV. I'd heard about it in movies. And I thought, wow, I wonder what that must feel like to do it. So I flew to Las Vegas and I met an exotic dancer called Crystal. And I proposed to her and I said, would you marry me for the day? And she said, yes. And then I organized a wedding. And I mean, look, I'm not saying that everyone needs to do this, of course, but it was really fun. I think the message is I've certainly done a few interesting things for sure. But everyone's list is different, but everyone's list is equally as important. And whether it's marrying a stranger in Las Vegas or climbing a mountain or saying I love you, proposing to someone, starting a company, saying I'm sorry, you know, every single item is really, really important. And I love that because it's relevant to everyone.
Right. You know, I'm just looking at it, some of the things that you've done, and you said your most profound moment was when you were first contacted by a suicidal stranger. And is this the gentleman who was backpacking and got bitten by a tick? This is someone else.
Yeah, someone else. I get a lot of it's interesting. I get a lot of messages, emails, etc., from people all over the world, and you know, and they vary so much. People starting their list, people curious about how to start a list, etc. But then, yeah, there are people who are going through hard times, and it's quite a common email for me to receive where someone is, you know, contemplating self harm or suicide, and the Shelley is the name of the girl who first approached me. It was the first person ever who approached me who told me that they were so down and depressed that they were considering ending their life. And you know, I'm not obviously trained in this world, but I gave it as much time and care as I could, and eventually connected her with professional help, which was of course needed. And this girl now is incredible. Years on, she's created her own list. She's traveling around the world with friends and family, reconnecting with people, and she's thriving. She's flourishing and loving life. And it's, sadly, it's an email I get a lot from people who are really, really down. And now I'm able to connect them with the right help. But that certainly allowed me to see that there was something within 100 Things that was a lot deeper than what I previously thought, you know.
Okay. You know, when you first started and you said, the simple question was, am I happy? In writing that list, did you think that there are many ways of looking at, am I happy? I'm going to leave my wife because I'm not happy. And I think I'll be happier with someone else. Right. Did you think were these simple, am I happy questions? Or because they are things that have repercussions with people around you as well. Were these thoughts on your mind?
Well, I think if I'm not happy, the people around me won't be happy. So I think it's a priority that everyone needs to actually look at what they're doing. And if they are happy, and again, like whether the word's happy or fulfilled or content or whatever, I think ultimately we want to be living on purpose. I think we want to be living on purpose, and we want to have passion, and the passions and goals that are very much anchored to our values. So I think if we can all adjust our lives so that all lines up, I think that equates to, inverted commas, happiness, right? And whatever the word might be. But yeah, I mean, certainly there are repercussions. And I think, you know, if a change is needed and it makes you a better person, so be it. Right. You know, and I don't know whether that means whether you break up with someone or whether that means you marry someone, you know, whether it means you change job or whether it means you stay in the same job and try even harder. Of course, I'm not responsible for that stuff. But, you know, I don't think that, I think ultimately a fear of change is very common, and it's a problem. I think an issue certainly that I had before I started my list was that I loved my comfort zone. I didn't want to leave my comfort zone. Anything that kind of ruffled feathers or anything that rocked the boat, whether it was changing job or changing relationship or changing what I did just with myself in my day-to-day life, I would go, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to inconvenience anyone. I don't want to inconvenience myself. But, you know, I think if you really want to have a breakthrough, yeah, you've got to be open to it. It might well mean that you don't need to change anything. Creating a list might be something that you might look at it and think, well, actually, I'm doing everything that I want to do and I'm very happy. In which case, amazing. That's fantastic. But equally, it might be a case where someone starts their list and they think, wow, I need to change my whole entire life. And it means that there are going to be ramifications. And that's the truth of it. And that's what happened with me. I changed everything. I left a relationship. I left my job. And I, in pursuit of something that I thought would certainly help me get to a better place. And it has.
Right.
But again, I must reiterate that if anyone's unhappy, it doesn't equal, well, you must change relationship. You must change job. You must move house. You must buy a new car. That's not the answer. But insight and the thoughts and the list may lead to that eventually. Who knows? But, you know, if it's positive for you, I think it must be done.
Right. Now, you're the national ambassador for Make-A-Wish Australia. So what's the work that you do with them? So tell me about that.
Well, Make-A-Wish are fantastic. They're obviously a global a global foundation, non-for-profit, who helping kids essentially who are in very unfortunate circumstances health-wise. And, you know, some of the kids that they're helping are terminally ill. Some are potentially getting better. Some are recovering. But, yeah, they basically pull together and they help kids who really, really deserve an act of kindness that will allow them to, achieve a meaningful goal of theirs. So I'm very proud to be an ambassador for them. I'm raising money for them. I'm trying to raise $100,000 for them. I couldn't be prouder. Make-A-Wish really are the real deal. And, you know, even I'm living in America now. And I see Make-A-Wish everywhere here too. And it's so lovely. So, you know, if anyone's interested in getting behind a great organization, Make-A-Wish for sure is my pick.
Right. And tell me about your 100 Things workshop.
Yeah, well, I do, as I said, like I have accidentally found myself being asked to do a lot of talks. So I give talks, keynote presentations around the world. And it's great. They're really, really fun, and that, you know, they're 15 minutes to an hour, perhaps. And I think the thing with motivational speaking is that you get on stage, you talk, and there's definitely like a peak in people's motivation and potentially inspiration or whatever. But I think that after a while, that kind of falls off the radar, right? It's great to hear a nice story of someone, but, you know, does that really have ongoing effects for you? So I noticed that I was getting a lot of emails from people saying, hey, that's a great story. How does this apply to me? How can I start a list? I want to start, but I don't know how. Here are three of my goals. I don't know how I should achieve them. I'm considering a big change in my life. How would I go about looking at that? And I thought, well, I should really design a program that allows people to do that. So I've developed an online workshop where people can log on, and it's modulated. So there's about 20 modules, and basically it takes people through the exact experience that I've been through. So emotionally, people have ups and downs throughout this throughout the workshop. There's activities that are online, which you have to, you know, you'll be on your laptop. There are activities that I set, which are sort of challenges, which get people out of the house to experience different things that I set them, and ultimately, it is all about allowing someone, giving them permission to think about themselves, understanding their values, working out their strengths so that they can create a meaningful list, something that's very empowering to them, both professionally and personally. Right. And it teaches the steps of how to actually go through and achieve those things. And at the end of the workshop, I, of course, encourage people and set guidelines on how to pull the trigger right now. So I think at the end of the day, life is about choice. You know, I think we choose to be happy. I think we choose to be unhappy. We choose to progress, and we choose to stay still. And I think ultimately we're very accountable for what we do. So the minute that we work that out, I think the minute is you become immediately empowered with life. And that's what my workshop's about.
Right. And of course, they can find that on your website, and also to check out your new website, Kindsome.
Yeah, absolutely. The old, if anyone wants to do a list, 100things.com.au is kind of the current site. And the new site, which is all about kindness, is kindsum.com. And yeah, I'd love to chat to people.
We hope to see you out here in Asia soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Freda, for your time.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you finish the 100 Things. I've been speaking to Sebastian Terry. This is Racing Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.